Never in Islamic history had there been this kind of a bay'ah, like the bay'ah that was there for Amirul Mu'mineen. Everyone came out insisting and begging and pleading with him to become the imam, to become the khalifa, except for Syria, Sham, that area where Muawiyah was, and around less than 10 of the companions, everyone else came out. So there were a few who refused to make bay'ah to Ali. For instance, Abdullah bin Umar, he was one. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he was another. And those individuals, actually, Amirul Mu'mineen gathered them and asked them what the issue was. Some of them at that stage said, yes, okay, we make bay'ah. Some of them didn't, and Amirul Mu'mineen left them. But still, that kind of a bay'ah, this was the only time that it had happened. Another thing that we find that's different when Amirul Mu'mineen comes to power is he explained to the people, first of all, he didn't beg them to come. He didn't insist that they make him khalifa. He told them, I'm better for you as a wazir. That's better for you. They insisted, no, it can only be you. It must be you. Then he went over and made it crystal clear to them what he was about to do. Let's look at the words of Ali alayhi salam. When they made bay'ah, before they made bay'ah, he said this, I'lamu, so know this, Anni in ajabtukum arkabu bikum ma a'lam. He said, know this, if I answer your call and I give in to your request and I accept this position, I will guide you the way that I know is best. Do you want this? Do you want? And the people insisted and they begged and the imam came in. Now, Amirul Mu'mineen, when we look at this brief period of time when we see the imam actually apparently now the khalifa, we see that if Amirul Mu'mineen had been a little bit willing to compromise on Islamic principles, his government would have been a lot more successful from a worldly point of view. If he had been willing to back down on some Islamic principles, play ball as they say, then from an outward point of view, he would have been very successful. But he stood firmly on his Islamic principles, and because of that, he had to endure three bloody wars. Three groups of people who went over and fought Amirul Mu'mineen. Important personalities in the Islamic world went over and fought him, and yes, they were at war with one another. They did not appreciate one another. So he fought against the Mariqin, he fought against the Qasitin, he also fought the Naqithin. So it was because of this action of Ali, because of his bravery, because of his selflessness, because of his commitment to Islam, that he ended up paying this price. And as some said, it was the justice of Ali that led to his martyrdom. So there's a lesson even in that that we get from Amirul Mu'mineen. There's a beautiful statement that we have from him when he's training us and teaching us how to be. That it's your responsibility. You have to make effort, but it's not your responsibility to produce results. Results are in God's hands. Of course, as believers, we try to get results. We're working for the cause of Islam. We make every effort, we plan, we plot, but results are not in our hands, they're in God's hands. If He wants to make it happen, it happens. For Amirul Mu'mineen, I have to stand for these principles. If it's the case the believers accept, then that's in their own interest. I'll be able to fulfill those plans. One of his statements, he says that, I will take you guys to Jannah. You'll obey, if you'll listen, if you'll follow, I'll make it happen. It'll be paradise on earth. But I do my part, and that's all I'm concerned about. Besides that, what happens? That's not my duty. So for us as followers of the Ahlul Bayt, and for us as people who are trying to pave the way for the return of the Imam, our concern is to identify correctly what our duty is, and then after that, to make sure that we're implementing that duty.